Silky's family was not in a good place. She was failing as a wife and mother, but her arrest was the last straw.
And I felt guilty. I felt guilty and I felt ashamed. And I was in my deepest pit.
Thankfully, Silky became a follower of Christ in her jail cell. And soon she was discovering how to restore her marriage and family with our help.
Focus on the family helped me find hope because they never give up. They continue being there for us, for the families, for the children. They never give up on helping others, of spreading the word of Jesus. And I'm grateful for that.
I'm Jim Daly. Working together, we can rescue and strengthen more families like Silky's. Can we count on your support? Give today at focusonthefamily.com/realfamilies.
Thank you for downloading the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast. You can find more relationship insights at focusonthefamily.com/marriage podcast.
Many years ago, when I was engaged to Dina, like most people, I had ideas of what marriage was going to be like, and she had her ideas, and there was kind of the bursting of the balloon one night. I swung by her place after a really long day, and I was sitting on her sofa, and I was just, like, checked out. I was a spud, a couch potato, and she later told me that she remembers that moment. She looked at me and just told herself, "It's okay. There are going to be nights like this when we're married, and it's okay." And she really did a good job of lowering the bar, if you will. I'm John Fuller here in the studio with Greg and Erin Smalley. They head up our marriage team. And let me take you back to your engagement, Erin. What were some of your expectations for marriage?
Well, they weren't really expectations because they were all true. I was that perfect. Yes. Is this reality?
Oh, really?
For her?
You might have noticed I asked Erin
yes.
the question.
Are you Erin?
So, I am so sorry.
Yeah. You know, it was so funny. Just last week, I was in Denver, close to where we lived when we married. And I was sitting in the parking lot of a grocery store that I went to when we first got married. And I remember thinking that suddenly I was going to know how to cook. I don't know how I thought that was going to happen. And so the expectation I had for myself was that I was going to be like my mom and provide these grand meals, but I never took time to learn how to cook. And so even going to the grocery store was anxiety provoking. And just last week, sitting in that parking lot, I got so anxious.
Did it trigger
in the parking
you?
Lot, it did.
Oh.
Just going, oh my word, I can remember how awful I felt because I wanted to be that like my mom, and yeah. I wasn't. And that was an expectation for myself, but and expectations for Greg as well. I expected that we were going to live near our family, which we didn't for about 10 years of our marriage. And then that we were going to wait to have kids, and that didn't turn out. And that we were going to get along so great. We were best friends, and we were never going to fight. And that worked out so well.
Yeah. That last one, I think, was something that wasn't on my radar. I didn't ever really imagine that we would have what I would call a knockdown, drag-out fight. And I don't mean physically, but we have had moments. So moving on, it's easy to be infatuated with your special someone during the early stages of romance. And we talked a little bit about this last time. Let's go ahead and return now to a conversation, Greg, that you and Dr. Bob Paul had with Jim Daly about protecting your relationship from lies. Here now is Jim Daly.
You share the story of Zach and Katie, who added to their wedding vows and they lived happily ever after at their ceremony. That fairy tale idea, that's the first lie. So take a whack at it.
You know, it's interesting that that whole fairy tale view of marriage has so infiltrated our Western culture for sure. And the idea when you get married is you're hoping that, you know, it starts once upon a time. And certainly the love that I have right now for my spouse has to be leading toward, and they all lived happily ever after. And happiness, I mean, it's built into the fabric of the American culture for sure. When you think about, you know, the Declaration of Independence, you know, and we're able to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And happiness isn't a bad thing. I mean, frankly, I'm kind of partial to happy, and I prefer more than less. I'm convinced God wants us to be happy. But when you think that happiness is the key, that happiness is the goal, you are so set up, because obviously God put us here on purpose with purpose, and there's a cosmic battle that's going on between good and evil. And happiness can't be the primary goal. There's a purpose bigger than happiness.
Okay, but in that, where are we getting those signals? The media? What? How come, A, it's not bad to have a bar to be reaching for? I want a happy, joyful marriage. I think that's okay. Where does that break down to where it becomes a lie, Greg?
The lie is that my end in mind is to feel happy, versus when I think about my marriage, I think about Aaron and I on this grand adventure. We're on a journey. My goal isn't to be happy. My goal is to journey in this life with Aaron.
Through all the valleys and the mountains.
Through all of that. And because if my goal is happiness, then what happens when we're not happy? What happens when we're in pain and we're frustrated and something's going on? It's so confusing. As Bob said, then maybe it's me. Maybe she's the problem. Versus,
I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that out loud. I'm just in my mind, I'm thinking that. But what I love when the goal is to be on a journey with my wife, 1 Corinthians 7:28 says that for those who marry, you will face problems. I mean, that's straight out of the Bible. We are going to hit these high times and into where we feel joy and we experience happiness. We're going to hit low moments where there's going to be a lot of pain. Mm. And what I love is that there's no one else on earth that I'd rather be with on this grand adventure, not knowing what's around the next corner, what we're going to face. For me, the goal is growing, is growth. Not happiness. I want to keep becoming more like Christ. I want to be a better husband. And so my outlook is not happiness, it's growth.
Okay,
and on this journey.
That reality is, that's your goal. Sometimes you got to say, okay, I don't feel like being a better husband right now.
Yeah, and there are plenty of times I'm sure Aaron would say, yeah, I experience him that way. And I'm human, and there are going to be those moments, and I'm going to go through those seasons where it's about me, I'm selfish, I'm prideful. But at the end of the day, I want to keep growing as an individual and as a husband and having our marriage become a marriage that we are both thrilled with.
So you're looking at the trend line of your life.
Right.
I mean, that's the Christian walk. You want that trend line to be improving over the course of your life, that more of the fruit of the Spirit is who you are over time.
So, Greg, you mentioned growing together, and for many couples, I mean, it's in perfect road, right? I mean, we have highs, we have lows. How do we really celebrate the wins and the progress, even though there's this wound here, there's this scar here I can't seem to get rid of?
Yeah, Aaron and I encourage couples to talk about three things in particular. Number one is reminisce about the good times. So think about your life together. What are some of the funny stories, the enjoyable times, the celebrations, the firsts that you had? There's something about when you go back and retell those to each other and talk about those early, fun, enjoyable experiences, it just kind of reminds you that, hey, you know what? We're pretty good together. I think it's also important then to talk about the hard times. So we have many good times, but we also are going to face challenges, and we will have the valley moments and the lows within our marriage. And I think the opportunity there is actually to revisit those through the lens of empathy. Not to go back and judge, not to blame, not to say, yeah, when we were there, you did this and this wrong, but really with empathy to go, I know that was really hard for you. What are some of the things that you've learned from that time? How maybe have we grown closer together because of those hard times?
And developed grit, really, as a result of those difficult times, that we developed this thing called marital grit. And it strengthens us as a couple. And to look back and go, whoa, look at what we walked through, and here we are today stronger than we were before we walked through that difficult time.
So you can even celebrate the hard times if they've become kind of positives.
You absolutely need to, because this the pain that's going to teach and to grow as long as you're going back and really identifying, yeah, what have we learned? How are we better? How are we stronger? What does that grit now really look like? Mm-hmm. And it gives you a confidence that we can face these mm-hmm. things yeah. together.
Well, it's especially important to really look at where were the turning points? Where did things shift? Hmm. What did God do amidst those challenges? And it's great to identify those, to really look at, okay, look at what God has done.
Okay.
And here we are. Yeah. We're stronger because of it.
All right, Greg, so you've covered two, I think, of the three things. What's the third thing that you encourage couples to do?
Yeah, it's really noticing and celebrating and giving God credit for those turning points that Aaron was saying. So the lessons that he's done, how did he show up? Like, as much as talking about the hard times gives Aaron and I as a couple confidence that, you know what, we can face whatever and we're going to make it, I think it's important to go, yeah, how did God show up when mm-hmm. we walked through this challenge and when this happened? You know, here's what God did. Here's what he's taught me. I love that concept in the Old Testament of an Ebenezer, and that stands for a stone of help. And so the Israelites would build kind of this little monument out of these rocks in recognition of God's ever-present mm-hmm. help for them. It's the same in our marriage, and we need to have those anchor moments to where we're going, you know what, look right here, that's how God showed up. And it gives us confidence in our relationship with him that as he says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I've loved you with an everlasting love, that's true. And it's powerful when we look back and go, and here's a great example. And that's a way that we can speak of God's, everlasting love in our life and in our marriage. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Well, thank you for sharing that. And we'll have more tools for you to help in your relationship to combat those lies. Certainly one would be the basis of our conversation that we heard earlier with Greg and Dr. Bob Paul. Their book, 9 Lies That Will Destroy Your Marriage, we're making that available when you donate to the Ministry of Focus on the Family today. Make a generous contribution of any amount, either a monthly pledge or a one-time gift, and we'll send that book out to you. And Greg, this book is a summation, kind of a popular distillation, if you will, of the principles that Hope Restored runs on, right?
Yeah, Aaron was a part of that initial team way back 20 years ago that developed all these, and it's really going over the last 20 years, what have 8,000 couples, who've 80% of those couples have stayed together, what have they taught us? And how can we share that and help you have that marriage that you've always dreamt about?
Well, we're going to link over to that book and your opportunity to donate, and also our free marriage assessment, which we've mentioned a number of times here in the podcast. All the details are in the show notes. And next time, we'll hear from Joshua and Raquel Rogers. They're going to be talking about an honest relationship, how to have that. For Greg and Aaron and the entire team, thanks for joining us today. I'm John Fuller, and this has been the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
When a woman discovers her husband's struggle with pornography, she needs a practical plan. The latest book from Focus on the Family, Aftershock, by professional counselor Joanne Condi, will help you through the 7 steps of self-care, and you'll learn how to deal with the emotions involved in the discovery of your husband's addiction. Let Joanne Condi's timeless wisdom give you hope even while you're in your own season of Aftershock. Learn more about Aftershock at focusonthefamily.com/store.